This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We are here every week, and we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical and educational, we hope, because it's our public service program for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And actually, sometimes we cover subjects that are relevant to you no matter where you live and no matter where you're listening. And today, actually, we have the privilege and honor, and I said honor for a reason, to talk to a very good friend of mine, but a really well-known judge here in Western New York from, by the way, a well-known family. Sorry, Jahar, I had to throw that in. So we're going to be talking about a specialized boutique court that exists here in Western New York, but it is covering a subject or an activity, or I don't know how we're going to phrase it, that is very, very much in the news and in the highlights of many, many stories that you read in the media or hear about in the media, and it has to do with the issue of human trafficking. What is it? What does human trafficking mean? And if you're like me and you watch Law and Order all the time, Law and Order, the special one, I can't tell you how many times they have rescued women who are being human trafficked in the story. Of course, maybe the story is fake, but I think it's based on actual events many times. And there are so many incidents of this happening where women have to be rescued or can be rescued because of they are being held actually prisoners for human trafficking. And I'm going to find out about this from my guest. And she is Jahar Pidgeon. And she is a judge and has been a judge in city court for, I'll ask her how many years, but for several years. And right now she is the judge presiding over the special boutique court that I'm calling the human trafficking court. So hello and welcome, Judge Pidgeon. And thank you so much for joining us today on Target.
Thank you, Judge Wolfgang. I mean, certainly I have to say before I even get into anything, it is an honor and a privilege for me to be speaking with you today, certainly as a former prosecutor and someone having the opportunity to appear in front of you before you retired. For me personally, you've always been a role model and a champion for women in the court. So thank you very, very much for allowing me to be on your radio show today. I've been on the bench since 2015. I was appointed back then by Mayor Brown, and then I ran in 2016 for a full 10-year term. So it's been probably about 6-7 years now that I've been presiding in Buffalo City Court. But I was recently fortunate enough to be appointed to the Human Trafficking Court in Buffalo City Court. So I'm still trying to get my feet wet, but I think it's a great opportunity and it's a pleasure to be here to speak with you and your audience to answer any questions that people may have about what is human trafficking and what do we do there in our court in Buffalo City Court.
Well, thank you for the kind words. We have a mutual admiration society because when you were, as you pointed out, a prosecutor before becoming a judge, and you were one of the most experienced and dedicated and excellent trial lawyers that I have ever had the privilege of working with. So here we go. Okay, we're done with the mutual admiration, and now I need you to and I worship your father-in-law, who is I think one of the most important people here, made such an impact here in Western New York. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but he has been a guest on Target years ago, the Reverend Darius Pidgeon. So
I did know that.
Yes, he was, he's so busy now. I don't feel like I should bother him. There's so much going on, but maybe in the future I'll see if I could talk him into being our guest here on Target. I think to start out with, what is there a definition? Because it's sort of a generic phrase in a way, and it doesn't really, if you're an ordinary citizen, I don't think you're really aware of what human trafficking, what we mean when we say that phrase.
Right, I agree. So when we think about human trafficking in the courts, we like to break it down into three separate categories. We would ask, what is the act of human trafficking? What is the means of human trafficking? And what is the purpose, in order to come up with the definition? So when we speak about the act that would mean the actual recruitment of the victim, whether it's actually receiving the person or transporting the person. When we speak about the means of human trafficking, that would be something such as fraud or deception that's used over the victims. That would be something along the lines of the threat or the use of force against the victims. And then the actual purpose would be exploitation, which obviously includes something such as prostitution or sexual exploitation of the person themselves, to come up with the definition of human trafficking.
You know, I think, as you told us the meaning and the three aspects of it, I think people who are listening feel that can't happen in Buffalo. This is something that's like in a third world country, maybe, or mm-hmm. don't you think if people have the idea in their minds that this is something that happens around in Western New York, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's something even that you mentioned from watching television shows. I know before I started presiding over the court, I would be one of those people watching Law and Order and thinking, oh, this happens to, you know, foreign women, not people who come from the United States. And that's honestly one of the common and biggest misperceptions. People think it doesn't happen in the U.S., and I think even people here locally in Western New York, because we sometimes forget, hey, Canada's very close, we may think that, oh, these women and men are brought in from Canada. But many of the cases that we see in Buffalo City Court, over 90% of those cases are from the U.S., and the majority of those cases, the victims are mostly from our area here in Western New York. So that's a huge misperception, but a lot of these cases are people from the United States.
How would this happen? I mean, they mostly, the people that are, let's say, what do you call it, the victim, the people who are trafficked, is that how you, the victims who are trafficked, what would be an example of where the perpetrator would find them or how they would find them?
I mean, honestly, it can come from anywhere. I think there's, again, the misperception that, oh, the person has to be from, say, a massage parlor or a pimp, for example. There are cases where these people can even be family members who are victimizing and making these people do the human trafficking. Even when it comes to, we use three key elements of force, fraud, and coercion. And for the force, it can be physical, sexual, or emotional, even in the form of addiction. I mean, you know, from presiding in court for many years with the addiction, it can be the form of a person who may appear to be innocent, but in reality, they're deceiving the victim, and they may take advantage of the victim's addiction and then ultimately exploiting them for sex, and then that person ends up taking profits for the victim's labor. So it can come in so many different forms, but it's not always the typical, oh, it's a massage parlor. It can be someone who in the beginning, this victim thinks, oh, it's an innocent relationship. They're pretending to be a boyfriend. And then they promise money. They promise things that never materialize. And then lo and behold, unfortunately, they're ultimately exploited for sex.
A lot of this sounds like some of the domestic violence scenarios too, where
absolutely.
Oh, okay. I just thought about that. You'll have to like expound on what I meant by that, because I think it is similar.
No, it is. And I mean, there's many elements that do overlap. And I'll have to say, I actually presided over the domestic violence court in Buffalo City Court for about 2.5 years. And thankfully, I did have the opportunity to serve in that court, because there's so many things that overlap. Obviously, I haven't seen you in person, but last year for quite some time, I was serving over in Erie County Family Court. And over there, I was doing family offense petitions, custody and visitation matters. So when you look at everything all together, a lot of these courts do overlap. When it comes to the DV aspect of it, there's a couple of statistics that are quite alarming. But when you think about it, it unfortunately makes sense. 74% of women who are in drug treatment have reported that they were a victim of childhood sexual assault. 90% of women in drug treatment experience domestic violence. So when you look at those numbers and think about those statistics, I mean, it's not, honestly, when you look at it, it's a no-brainer that these things are all, unfortunately, connected, and there's definitely an overlap.
They're interrelated, definitely, I thought, because definitely. When you mentioned, you know, the fear, controlling someone by fear, promises, threats, those are similar to the aspects of domestic violence. So that's what made me think of it, you know. How you mentioned that the victims can be found all in any walk of life or any, like, sex, race, whatever. Well, you mentioned men, but I think probably 90% of the people who are human trafficked probably are women. Am I right?
I would agree. And, you know, certainly you mentioned that men can be victims of human trafficking. That's another perception, that it's only women. Or one of the things, I like to think that I'm still young, but my children tell me since I just turned 40, maybe I'm not. I disagree with them. But I saw pretty women, and a lot of people even think, oh, commercial sex workers, they enjoy this lavish lifestyle. But for the most part, it is mainly women. But going to your point, there's no single profile for it. You know from your experience on the bench, many of the cases that we see, none of this discriminates against people based on their age or their gender, their religion, or even their economic status. We've said it over and over. You take things on a case-by-case basis. There's really not one person who's affected by it, even when it comes to ages. It can go as young as a child, 7 or 8-year-old, up until people in their 70s or 80s. So it definitely does not discriminate against any type of person at all.
I know how brilliant and correct you are and how educated, but I have to disagree. I really don't think that Julie Roberts was human trafficked victim in Pretty Woman. No way. I have seen that 10 times. So ask me, I could do any line. We'll talk about it later.
I think I agree with you. I think I agree with that too, but I think it's the misconception that people see a woman like, or a movie like Pretty Woman, and they would say, oh, if you're a victim of, human trafficking, you're living this wonderful lifestyle, when in fact, most of these women are not. They're being controlled. I mean, in a lot of situations, it can be something as simple as not having access to their passport, not having access to benefit cards and money, so they're really in a position where they can't leave. But I'll agree with you. Pretty Woman, I don't know if Julia Roberts was necessarily
and I don't,
the type of sex victim that we would commonly see in Buffalo City Court.
And I don't think that Richard Gere was going to be prosecuted. He just doesn't seem like the typical defendant to me. But that's the part that we have to talk. Oh, my God. When she goes shopping, Judge... when she goes shopping, that's my favorite scene, as you well know. So let me get.
Of course, I know that.
So when and she tries on all those dresses, and when she goes back and says to the salesperson who treated her terribly, "See, you work on commission. You should have helped me." But let me go back to the serious issue that we're talking about. And who are the we talk about the victims, but who? What people? What kind of people? And in what scenarios do we find the people who are engaging in this? The defendants who are engaging in human trafficking. Where do they come from? And who are they?
I mean, honestly, they can come from anywhere, and along the same lines as there not being a profile for the victim, there's really not a profile for, and I'll say men because the majority of the people that we serve are women, but there's not a profile for these men. It's not a certain age that they fall into. It's not a certain economic status that they have. You know, like I alluded to earlier, it could start out something as simple as a relationship where this victim thinks that this person is honestly a great guy, but it starts out with something simple as him promising her things that never come to fruition. So there's not really this poster child, I'll say, of what these people look like. I think that's another misconception of, whatever a quote-unquote pimp would look like to someone. There's no profile for what these men look like.
And now we get to the, I guess, crux of the matter, which is how do we find, How do you find these cases? How do we find the victims who are being, you know, human trafficked? How do they get to court? How do they get to you?
So a lot of it has to do with collaborations with other agencies. For Buffalo City Court, one of the first agencies that we would rely on would obviously be the arresting agency. So it could come from Buffalo City Court because our court is a hub court, meaning we get cases from Erie County and then the other six surrounding counties. We can get cases from any of these other agencies. So it could be Buffalo, Cheektowaga, but we would be relying on that agency to hopefully flag for some of the factors that we look out for. Or honestly, a lot of the time, we rely on what the attorneys tell us in front of court. We have a checklist that we use to look at certain factors that may key us into maybe this would be appropriate for the human trafficking court. But for the most part, I think we rely heavily on those arresting agencies. And I'd say for the public defenders, because they're on the first line when it comes to interviewing the people who come in ultimately who could be the victims for the human trafficking court.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today we are talking to Judge Jahar Pridgen, who is presiding over the Human Trafficking Court here in Buffalo. And I said in Buffalo, but I just realized that you said you are like a hub court. The cases come from other places as well?
Yes, which is great because the services, it extends all of those services. And another practical thing is it could put the victims in a position where she could relocate. So because we do cases beyond and extending from Erie County, we can use so many extra services. We use agencies such as Evergreen, Crisis Services, the International Institute of Buffalo. There's so many different agencies, but because it's that hub court, it allows us to provide extra services. So it's very fortunate that we're allowed to be a hub court.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you mentioned that not only is it what people's idea of court, you know, somebody, a defendant comes, a victim comes, a DA comes and so forth, but there and says this is the charge and like we see on TV or like people, know, but there's a lot more to this court, to actually all of our specialized courts, than just your typical guilty, not guilty situation. As you started to mention, and I think we could explain, there's services for the victim that ordinarily you would not have available if it was just like an ordinary, regular city court situation.
Absolutely. And I think most of us judges, we like to say that Buffalo City Court is a problem-solving court because we're fortunate to have so many courts to be able to serve the people in our community. Obviously, you know, we have a drug court, we have an opiate court, we have the adolescent diversion program for the younger kids, and then certainly the human trafficking court. I like to think that the human trafficking court, though, it takes a totally different, unique approach than some of even the other specialty courts. Because we don't necessarily treat the victims as a defendant. And being a former prosecutor, you know, my whole thing, especially once I was in felony trials, was you want your case indicted. It has to be done in a timely manner. If the defendant doesn't take a plea, we need to have a trial. And ultimately, whatever form, you wanted justice, certainly if a victim was involved. In Buffalo City Court, you can have a case where, or a morning where there's 50 cases. So you're giving each person 3 or 4 minutes, which doesn't seem like it's a lot of time. In the human trafficking court, it's a totally different approach. We can take more time. We want to be able to try to link them up for counseling, legal advice, assist them if they have an addiction. So honestly, I am just overly delighted to be able to take a different approach than to how are we going to resolve this case? How can we move it off of the docket? Because you're not treating these people as defendants. It's about offering them services to hopefully get them on a different path to get out of that lifestyle.
And what about we're talking about what can be available to actually what you would usually call the defendant, but I'm sorry, the victim. But what about the defendant, the person who is engaging in this behavior? What are the possible punishments or resolutions, or what can happen to that person?
I mean, obviously, if that person is arrested and if it's a felony indicted, or even what we do in the local criminal courts, for the misdemeanors, it would be 364 days or less, or they would get some form of probation or a conditional discharge. Our court, and I don't know if you want to say fortunately or unfortunately, we more so focus on the victims. But I do know from the prosecutors that are assigned to me, there have been several cases where the pimps, or whatever you want to call them, they were in fact prosecuted by the DA's office or a different agency, and that does give some form of closure to these people who come through our courts who are victims. I know that there was one case where one of our victims testified and helped successfully prosecute one of the men who had been her pimp or was doing, you know, exploiting her. So that was a good thing for her.
A lot of times, this is probably what I learned from TV, though. A lot of times, the defendant has been engaging in this behavior as a serially more than one time, and I don't know if they, when they are finally caught by or arrested or charged, they might actually be charged eventually with serious crimes as well.
Right, and I think that's probably another key difference between what I'm doing now and even comparing it to domestic violence court and Buffalo City court. The human trafficking court, we more so focus on the victim and not treating him or her as a defendant, versus in the domestic violence court, you're more so focusing on the defendant, whether his sentence will be attending batterer's intervention courses or whether the person has to be incarcerated. It's two different models, so we more so focus on trying to help these victims get out of that lifestyle, offering all of the services that we can.
Did I ask you, or did we say how widespread this is as far as in our Western New York area?
I know that Judge Martocci, and I have to, of course, give her a lot of credit because Judge Martocci, this court started at the end of 2013, I believe, here in Western New York, and it was the first court of this type in our entire state. I know back maybe when she was interviewed a few years ago, we had done maybe a couple of hundred of these cases, and I don't have the statistics on it, but I think at this point we've probably been able to help about 400 to 500 people in the short time that our court has been in existence. So to me, if you can help 400 or 500 people get out of this lifestyle, whether it's helping them with addiction, helping them relocate, I think that's a great thing to be able to say, especially when normally as a judge, that may not be my focus of rehabilitating or helping people.
It's totally amazing, and it's an amazing accomplishment when we talk about the fact that shout out to Judge Amadeo and Judge Hannah,
yes,
as well, when
yes,
that we were so farsighted to come up with this idea and to follow through with it and to keep it going through all these years and to deal with these many people and help these many victims as well. I'm worried, and you probably are too, that COVID has affected your ability to be effective because of so many reasons. What's happening, and how are you managing during this time?
You know, I honestly have to say, you mentioned Judge Amadeo and my current chief, Craig Hanna. Our AJ, Paula Ferraletto, our administrative judge, she has been wonderful. I know a lot of it comes from the top, Justice DeFiore, and then, you know, it trickles down. But as you know, Buffalo City Court, we are open every single day, whether it is a holiday, whether it is a weekend. And even during the midst of all of this, Buffalo City Court has not been closed one day. It's not traditional by any means. And, you know, for some of the attorneys and the litigants who may not be tech savvy, we've still been able to, initially we were using Skype, but now we're using Teams. And I honestly have to say, it has been extremely effective. I know some of the people who we serve, more so in the human trafficking court, they like this approach a little bit better. And I don't know if it's because, you know, for me, I get in my car, I drive downtown, you may have to pay for parking. For a lot of the people that we serve, they're living check to check. They may not have a vehicle. They may be relying on public transportation. So if they can go and press the link on a cell phone and be able to speak with me as the judge, their public defender, or their private counsel, have the ADA there, and we still have staff there, we have someone there from different agencies, we've honestly still been able to serve people, which is a great feeling, because in the beginning, you feel like your cases belong to you, like it's an extension of your life. So you really get worried about people and making sure that they still have what they need. But our AJ has been magnificent, her and Judge Hannah, in making sure that we've still been operating. But again, it's not traditional. So if you're not tech savvy, you may have to get a child or a grandchild to help. But we haven't closed one day. It's been excellent.
You're talking to the right person here. Everybody, Jim, my engineer, is laughing when you said, if you're not tech savvy, every week I come in and I ask, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, I say, plus asking my daughter, plus asking my granddaughter. Yes, you're absolutely right.
It's a new experience.
Yes, and it definitely is. But it's so amazing what you pointed out, that how everyone has been able to adjust. And especially, as you talked about, the judges, Judge Ferletta, Judge Hannah, you, how they've been able to keep all, of course, in important. They are so important to, you know, society, and they've been able to adjust and twist and turn and meet all of the requirements. So really, I think it's a great accomplishment to be proud of. So, hey, is there a number that if somebody is listening and they feel, I know somebody or that's being human trafficked, or they themselves would like help, or how would they get to you or to court or to somebody to help them? Do you know?
I can give out the main number to Buffalo City Court. Obviously, I don't think that they would speak to me directly, but the main number would be 716-845-2600, I believe, but I'll double check right before we end the show just to make sure. In worst case scenario, for those who are tech savvy, always, you can Google the Human Trafficking Court, and then other agencies, I would say the International Institute of Buffalo, if you Google that, they are one of the great agencies that we work with. They provide confidential services, and they also help bring awareness specifically to human trafficking. And then we also use crisis services. So the court may not be the first step to start with, just because certainly I can't directly speak with someone. But either of those two agencies, if you look them up, well, they would be able to certainly help.
That's really helpful. And you're absolutely right. That would be the way to go. Thank you so much for talking to us, Judge Pridgen, about the Human Trafficking Court and about other matters. We really appreciate your taking time from what we know is your busy schedule. And it was really a pleasure. And we thank you very much for being on target.
Thank you, Judge Wolfgang. And thank you for being a role model.
And go
Bills.
Go Bills. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.